Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The thinking of the world and the thinking of the church don't often agree. And it seems as if they are agreeing even less and less these days about a number of issues. But today there is one thing that we agree on. And it is this: that Easter is for children. Yes, for children. But we disagree about who children are. For in the thinking of the world, Easter is for children because Easter is about candy and bunnies and egg hunts and things like that. But in the thinking of the church, Easter is for children because Easter is about baptism. And baptism is where we, no matter your age, where we are born anew as children of God. St. Paul tells us in Romans that baptism unites us to Jesus in his death and resurrection. It unites us to Good Friday and Easter, so that dying with him, dying to sin, we rise with him to a new life of grace, a new life as children of God. And so, as we heard from St. John today, what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. So we are. Children of God, loved by God. But good parents don't just have children. They raise children. And so it is with our Father in heaven. And so these weeks of celebration following Easter are about what our baptism means for us. How we live and grow and are raised as children of God. Last Sunday in the intro, for example, we sang, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. Being a child of God is not the end of the story, but the beginning of growing up to salvation. Of growing in faith and love and righteousness. Of not growing away from God in independence, in freedom, in self-sufficiency. But rather growing into Him. To be like Him. Like Father, like Son. This Easter growth began for the disciples that very first night of the resurrection. For as Luke tells us, very similar to what we heard last week in John, the disciples are together talking. And when Jesus appears to them, well, they act rather childish. Like the child who thinks there is a monster in the closet or under the bed. They thought they saw a spirit, a ghost. But just as flesh and blood parents embrace their children and drive away their fears, so Jesus here in his flesh and blood embrace his children and bids them embrace him and drives away their fears. He is no ghost. but the Son of God who has conquered death in his resurrection. But his children need to learn this, and for their faith to grow and cling to it. And so Easter night, Jesus comes into their room and calms their fears. He is alive and with them, and so they have peace. But what Jesus does next is just as important as this first giving of peace. Luke tells us, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Like the parent who, after embracing her child, opens the closet to show her that there are no monsters in there, or kneels and shows her that there is nothing under the bed. So Jesus now opens the scriptures to show his children the truth of his word. That what happened these past few days was no accident, no series of unfortunate events, not things spinning out of control, but what had been prophesied and spoken of from the beginning in all the scriptures. Everything that had been written, everything, spoke of and pointed to him and his Easter work. And so Jesus opened the scriptures to them and filled their minds with the truth. He told them about the cross and Isaac's burden of wood in Genesis. He told them about his supper and the flesh and blood of the Passover lamb in Exodus. He told them of his atonement for sin and the sacrifices in Leviticus. He told them about his death for the life of the world, like it was with Joseph in Egypt. He told them how he was the real strong man, like Samson, who came to crash the gates of his enemy. He told them about the hatred and villainy he and a former king of Israel, David, received even from their own people. He told them about being pierced from Zechariah and showed them his hands and his side. He told them about how he was Isaiah's suffering servant. He told them about dry bones and resurrection. And with each teaching, each story, each shadow revealed, their fears were taken away, and their faith increased. The monsters of uncertainty and the ghosts of sin were taken away and replaced with the Spirit and Word of God. They were still children. They would always be children, just as we always will be. But they were learning as they drank the pure spiritual milk of the Word and growing up to and into their salvation, which is not a what, but a who, growing up and into Christ, the one who was speaking to them, and not only informing them, but forming them. And that distinction is important, that the Word of God not only informs us, but forms us. For being a child of God is not only a matter of the head, but of the heart, of life that is not just known, but lived. Perhaps we have too often put asunder those two things that God has joined together. The Word of God became flesh and still does. As he now comes and lives in us and through us, that we live who we are, who we have been made in our baptism. That is what John was talking about when he goes on in his epistle to talk about the practice of sinning and the practice of righteousness. That's not simply a matter of knowing what is right and what is wrong, or of willpower and determination to follow the law. It is a matter of being and abiding in Christ. That born anew as children of God, we no longer follow the false promises and lies of the devil, but instead follow the true and sure promises of God and find our life in Him. Practicing righteousness by repenting of our sin and abiding in His forgiveness and love. And so growing into Him. Do we always do that? You know that you do not. We're children after all, and we often act like children, being rebellious, wanting junk food instead of good food, thinking we know better than our Father, listening to and following other voices and so-called wisdom in this world. And what happens is that when we do those things, our minds get filled with all kinds of junk. Truths, half-truths, falsehoods, superstitions, fantasies, myths, legends, theories, all the latest fads and trends, and then our lives get filled with all kinds of junk, with sins and hurts and struggles and wanderings. And we become this mixed-up jumble that Satan loves to manipulate, raising doubts, resurrecting fears, and putting monsters of uncertainty and skeletons of sins back in our closets and under our beds. But we have a good and faithful Father who sent His Son for us and gave us His Spirit. Our triune God, who has not left us on our own, but continues to come to us in the night of sin with the light of His grace and give us what we need, Himself. Still chasing our monsters and forgiving our sins, and giving us peace. He opens our minds to clean out the junk and fill them with His word of truth. He opens our hearts to clean out the junk and fill them with His love. He opens our mouths and puts into them the food that we need, His very body and blood, to feed and strengthen His children. That if we have acted in ignorance and unbelief, if we have rebelled and followed our own ways, if we had doubted and went along with the ways of the world, we be forgiven and do so no more. For this word Jesus not only gave to His disciples that night and opened their minds so they could understand, but sent them as His witnesses that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations. And we heard Peter do that very thing in the reading from Acts as he preached for the people to repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That's the very same word in preaching that comes to us today. as well. But mark well that word that Peter said there, that our refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. Or literally, from the face of the Lord. Or in other words, he doesn't just send it from afar. He comes and brings it. He comes to you himself, to embrace you, to forgive you, to heal you, to baptize you, to raise you, to feed you, to teach you, and keep you. He does this through his means, through his people and things, through the ministry, the word, and the sacraments. But through these people and things, it is no ghost, but our Lord himself. The good shepherd caring for his sheep. The father keeping his children. Your Savior and brother with you still. And so, as John said, beloved, we are God's children now. His baptismal promise is faithful and sure. What he has given, he will not take back. What he has done, he will not undo. And what he has promised, he will deliver. So do not fear, though what we are is not yet appeared, but when he appears, we will be like him. Do not fear, for there is nothing in this world that your Savior has not conquered. Do not fear, there is no sin that he will not forgive. Do not fear, for all has been fulfilled. Your Savior comes to you now not to condemn, but that you grow in his word, that you grow up in your salvation, that you grow into him, that you taste and see that the Lord is good, and abide in him who is alive for you. For yes, dear baptized children of God, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And he is here for you. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.